Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm going to be try to be really quick. I have to say that I really enjoyed Jill's talk because while she's married to a French man, I'm married to a French woman. So I can certainly identify with family dinners. That's all right, no worries. I'm going to be introducing David Arnold. David works for Dow Jones, who are one of our clients. He's a very dynamic and knowledgeable product leader who brings a wealth of experience in his role as Director of Product Strategy at Dow Jones. I'm very nervous. David began his career working in the government as a software developer. He spent about 7 years doing that. He worked for Lockheed Martin and McDonnell Bradley. He's worked on projects like EasyPass and the Global Transportation Network. He's also was brought on board at McDonnell Bradley as a partner, and his role was to build a team of enterprise application architects. David made the leap from government into the commercial world by starting to work for MCI WorldCom, and then eventually ended up at Dow Jones in 2002, and he's been working in their consulting group, their product management organization, and also in product strategy. David is responsible for integrating all of the products within the professional information businesses of Dow Jones, as well as looking after search and metadata components of Factiva. He's a really interesting guy. I've enjoyed working with him in the past year, and just very recently he organized a cross-functional and cross-business unit think tank in New Jersey last week, to which I was invited. He brought in people from different areas within Dow Jones across different business units in order to talk about how can they better utilize software, particularly ours, in terms of being able to deliver more information to their clients. So with that and only one small advertisement, I hope you all read our From Tags to Riches article in the journal. It's pretty good. But with that, I'd very much like to introduce David Arnold. And thanks, David, for being here.
Thank you, Ian. Good morning, everybody. All right, so why is Dow Jones here? Everybody, I saw somebody in the back just looking at their phone and looked at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and I think it's up a little bit. But that has nothing to do with what we do. All right, many of you may know about our commercial products, consumer-facing, Wall Street Journal, Barron's. I don't work for them. I work for the professional information business. And basically, the professional information business is built on an archive of news that's about 30 years deep, and we've been aggregating it for about 20 years. It contains publications such as the Wall Street Journal and Barron's, as well as New York Times, LA Times, as well as the Washington Post, and thousands of smaller local sources. There's about 1.3 billion articles in this archive. It goes back 30 plus years. And it's in 28 different languages, and there's content from over 800 regions around the world. So what did we build? What we have is explaining what we have in our archive. I did it again. Am I hitting the plus or the minus? Okay, got you, thank you. So these are the three businesses that we've built off of this archive. The flagship product is called Factiva. Factiva is basically a search engine. We've all used Google, but Factiva is a search engine that searches those 1.3 billion articles. It has powerful and robust search builder, and it utilizes our proprietary coding and metadata for enhanced searching. About 17 years ago, we identified a niche product or a niche market for Factiva, and it was around risk and compliance. So as you can probably guess by looking up there, we founded our business, Dow Jones Risk and Compliance. This product helps clients meet regulatory and compliance challenges head on. We utilize our premium news database and other open source information to provide custom due diligence reports, lists of special interest persons, and entities of interest. Entities of interest are basically companies. Risk and compliance exists to protect our customers. Global financial institutions and corporates are on the front line of identifying terrorist financing, money laundering, and corruption. We help them protect their organizations from regulatory, commercial, and reputational risk. Finally, in January of 2017, I helped launch a product called Dow Jones DNA. DNA stands for Data, News, and Analytics. DNA provides programmatic access to this premium news archive, as well as request response APIs that allow you to replicate functionality of all of our destination products. So now that you know what we've done with this massive amount of information, you need to understand how we've organized it. So we started organizing this content using what we refer to as Dow Jones Intelligent Identifiers. We started doing this about 25 years ago, and we did it using rules-based coding, which is very, very time-consuming and requires a lot of human interaction or intervention. So what we've started to do over the past few years is we started to build out a structured taxonomy using machine learning and artificial intelligence. Instead of having to wade through, this helps our customers by not having them wade through hundreds of articles to find information when using free text search. Rather, they can simply perform a search using a new subject, a region, or a language, or industry code. Dow Jones ID, which is what we refer to it as, is an evolving taxonomy, which means it is reviewed and added to on a regular basis. We do not worry about the total size of or number of codes, more we worry about if it's the right size. We want to make sure that it reflects current topics, trends, and emerging technologies. As new industries surface and hot topic trends in the news, new codes are created to ensure that taxonomy remains current. For example, think of cryptocurrency. Last year, a few years ago, no one even knew what it was. Now today, this is a thriving hot topic. Or how about drones? A few years ago, drones were just a toy, and now it's a thriving industry warranting placement in our taxonomy. Not only do we worry about new trends, but we also look at old. For example, VCR technology used to be a code. We don't really need that anymore due to new digital formats. So why do we need DJID, and why can't we just use keyword searching? All right, so the reason is because when you do a keyword search for the word terrorism, with an asterisk wildcard there, you would get any word that contained, or any article that contained the word terrorism or terror. Doesn't necessarily reflect what the article was about. So what we are able to do when you use our DJID is tell you that the story is about an act of terror. So next, we talk about why is it difficult to get this information out of a news article? Well, if it was structured data, it's very easy to use. With structured data, all the data points are right where you expect them to be. It's easily classified and categorized. Unstructured data, however, is very random. It's not easy to identify what the topic is, and it's not easy to categorize. This type of data requires sophisticated linguistic tools such as Expert System to be able to classify and categorize. The first thing we had to do was create some sort of structure out of billions of news articles. So what we did is we took each article and broke it down into its basic parts: a heading, a lead paragraph, a tail paragraph, and a column heading. This let us at least put different weights on different things. For example, a heading and lead paragraph are more important than the tail paragraphs. So what is so difficult about language? Well, I think we had an example of it earlier during an HR meeting on her first day in the United States, but I'm not going to go into that one. So what we'll talk about is this sentence here. The BMW I bought to replace my Mercedes is a great car. So which car is the great car? It's very easy for us as humans to look at that sentence and say, well, we're talking about the BMW because it's my current car. However, many old classical tagging systems would have identified Mercedes as the great car because of the proximity of the phrase is a great car to the word Mercedes. So that would have been tagged incorrectly. There are plenty of other examples, and I'll just go through a couple of them here. For example, in the sentence, I have four mouths to feed at home. Is mouth a body part, or is it a person? How about the next sentence? Where we're talking about violins, is a string part of a violin or a group in the orchestra? And just think, this is English, and with different dialects of English, as well as 28 different languages. All of these exist across all of those different languages as well. So what we've created, with help from Expert Systems, is our auto-coding system. In order to apply our taxonomy, we've created this automatic system that applies taxonomy to all our content in the database with very minimal human effort. The key word here is it is automatic. What we also don't do is just look for mentions of a word. We really try to find out what this article is about by taking a semantic look at what the text actually says. So how did we do this? So in order to get around these language challenges, keep in mind there are 28 languages. We use a hybrid approach and recognize it takes multiple tools to classify on the scale we require. We have very aggressive requirements. We have hundreds of thousands of new articles coming in on a daily basis, and we require that they be tagged within a millisecond or two. To accomplish this, we use a multiple classifiers. We run these classifiers in parallel so that one classifier does not become the bottleneck. Instead, since each classifier exploits a particular piece of the article, we use a classifying cluster, we can generally improve the timeliness and accuracy of the information. On top of that, our mission is very aggressive. We are looking for a confidence metric that these articles are really about what we say at over 90%. So our quality is a never-ending process. At Dow Jones, we really feel that quality and accuracy is our brand. We want to be a trusted brand in the news market. So our customers expect quality. In order to ensure quality of our coding, we have a dedicated quality team. We review our client feedback, and we ensure this information is fed back into our algorithms. We utilize a supervised training model to improve our confidence scores. So now I'm going to talk about a recent real-world use case. And I don't know how many of you know what GDPR is, but in my world, I hear it every day, multiple times a day. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown on what GDPR is. GDPR, a General Data Protection Regulation, seeks to create a data protection law framework across the EU and aims to give citizens back control of their personal data. Many organizations are looking at this as a potential significant financial penalties for not taking care of this information. But at Dow Jones, we actually looked at this with our risk and compliance business, as an opportunity. We took the opportunity to meet directly with the UK Privacy Commission, and we wanted to see how we could help other companies. So what we did is we have a special interest person database that contains about 200,000 users or people. So we wanted to make sure that if those people were acquitted, we recognize that in our database. So first, I'm going to tell you what a special interest person is. It is not a person who committed murder or has a speeding ticket. These are people who have committed financial crimes, terrorist, organized crime, human trafficking, or crimes like that. This is information that companies use to make sure that they're doing business with reputable people. So, what did we have to do? We had 200,000 different people that we had to do there, and if we conservatively estimated how long this would take to go back and redo this data, or to do this research, it would be 10 minutes per person, which equates to about 4,200 research hours, or researcher days, or 11.5 researcher years. We had about 8 months to get this done, and just think of the cost of 11.5 research years. So what did we do? We embarked on a project that utilized artificial intelligence to shorten this time and allow our ongoing monitoring process. To deal with past cases, we looked at the 1.3 billion articles to identify the concept of acquittal. This gave us 17 million documents. Then, using advanced matching techniques, we were able to find articles that matched the people in our database and came up with about 8,000 SIPs that we identified. 3,000 of them were identified with a 90% confidence score. So we didn't do any manual work on those. They just went in our database as acquitted. The other 5,000, however, we did move forward with manual research, and we were able to get this finished rather quickly. Moving forward, we are deploying expert system in 6 languages to help us not only identify if people are acquitted, but to identify the SIP themselves. All right. So what was the benefit? Well, we were able to save ourselves 11 research years. I can't equate what that cost is, but I would think it's somewhere in the millions. But we were not only able to do that, we became GDPR compliant ahead of schedule. So we were very happy with that. All right. So in conclusion, Dow Jones Professional Information Business is utilizing AI to categorize over 1 billion news events and hundreds of thousands daily. We also use this technology to solve real-world business challenges, and we look forward to continue to do this in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Thanks so much.